It's a quarter of a century since Country Life first hit the airwaves, and to celebrate, we're bringing you some features from past shows. Today, we head back to 2008, on board a truck to collect sewage from a rural property near Wellsford in Northland. Mac McLaren owned a septic tank cleaning business.
Okay, should we talk sewage and septic tanks and things and go and catch up with one of your clients?
We'll do that. We'll start the truck up and, we'll go and do a job.
Okay. How many trucks have you got?
We've got two rigs, both Mercs. In the early days, we had a lot of rubbish. We had Bedfords, Leylands, and then in 1990, we bought our first Merc. They're an absolute beautiful truck. And then I bought this Merc I bought brand new 4 years ago. So it's 440 horse.
Lots of horsepower.
Yeah, lots of grunt. There's no substitute for horsepower in the trucking business. It's a beautiful truck. They've got cross locks. So the first job we're going to do this morning is we go to a cocky's farm. It's up through a paddock, quite steep, quite greasy. We had 6 inches of rain over the weekend. Haven't got to worry. This thing will get up there and we'll be able to back straight up to the septic tank. They're a beautiful Mercedes-Benz. Beautiful truck. I'm going to do it. Let's hope it doesn't break down.
Haven't given it such a glowing reference. How many properties do you tend to get through in a day?
On a good day you can get 20-odd done. But we do a lot of other work. We have a lot of contracts with Rodney District Council and the Kaipara District Council, where we do a lot of pumping of pump stations, sewer lines. You can end up spending 4 or 5 hours in a day working for those. So this is the first property we're going to do. We're going to just go off-road here a bit, go up through this fairly steep paddock.
You're not very good access.
Typical cocky septic tank, because the septic tank's right around the back of the house. So this is a good guy because he's decided to get his tank cleaned in the middle of summer when there's good access. In the middle of winter, this would be a nightmare to do. You'd have to back up the drive, probably running out 50, 60 metres of hose. But this is good. So middle of summer, we can just drive straight up the paddock here, just go in through the back, and hopefully maybe two hoses. So it'll make it a nice, easy, quick job, maybe 85 seconds to pump out a septic tank.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what 440 horse does, driving the pump. Just put the diff locks in, and we'll just back straight up that steep little hill. She's pretty tight. She's a big rig to get into some little places. Look at that.
Like a bought one.
Yeah. Magic. We'll get out and we'll run some hoses out and we'll pump some brown stuff. I'll get that door for you. It's a bit hard. Oh, you're right. Let's get some gloves.
Did you get to know where people's septic tanks are, I guess?
Yeah, after 30 years, we keep a database of all the jobs we do. So you know exactly the size of every tank you're going to go to. And so you need to know that when you're running a rig. You need to know when you do a trip, you need to know you can get 3 or 4 or 5 septic tanks in. You want to know that when you get to the last job, you're still going to have room in the tank to get the last job in. But this tank here, this is a 4,500 litre, so it's a big tank. And it's a while since I did it, so we'll have a look and see what it's like.
And all rural clients, I guess, mainly what, on farms or lifestyle blocks would be a big bit too now?
Lifestyle blocks is huge. With being so close to Auckland, a lot of lifestyle blocks, little 5-acre blocks, 10-acre blocks.
People are probably a bit shocked they even need to get them cleaned out if they've moved from the city. They probably don't have any idea.
Well, it's part of the old, there's a whole old wives' tale where a lot of people say, oh no, septic tanks don't need cleaning. But I'll explain to you later just
why. I'll let you get on with the job.
That's all right, we'll just lift that lid. Now that's exactly what that's a perfect septic tank. It's black, there's heaps of anaerobic bacteria, the bug hasn't died.
So how can you tell is good activity?
Oh, probably 90% of septic tanks you clean, they're either a dirty grey or they're a pinky red colour. And basically what's happened is that the anaerobic bacteria, which is what digests the sewage inside the tank, is dead. So the tanks don't work, and
they sludge up pretty quick. 2 years. I did a tank yesterday. I cleaned it 15 months ago. The people killed the bacteria in the tank just simply by putting chemical or a lot of waste down the septic tank that wasn't biodegradable, killed the bug in the tank, and the tank was just sludged.
So are there certain products that people shouldn't use if
you've got septic tanks? There's a heap of things. Nappy sand, bleach, strong disinfectants. They all kill the bacteria in the tank. So eco-friendly products you can buy, better it is. So I'll run some hose out and we'll clean this out.
How do you know when the job's done?
Depends whether there's a huge big crust on the tank or not, but you break the crust up, suck the crust out, suck the liquid out, you leave about 2 or 3 inches of just anaerobic sludge in the bottom, and that's the starter to keep the septic tank going again. And that's basically it. Check the inlet, check the outlet. Bob's your uncle. Yep. So there's no smell, eh? It's just...
No, there's no smell.
No smell. It's, And that's because this tank's working really, really well. See how black it is down there? Heaps of anaerobic bacteria. It's working really well. So that's on the bottom there now, so we'll just leave, suck a little bit more. So that's about 2 inches of sludge in the bottom, so that's enough for the for a starter bacteria just to let it keep going. So I'll just suck some water through the hose, clean it all up.
You must have some doozy stories, though, I bet.
Oh, yes. Yes, we can. Got some doozies, all right. Sunday morning is the most interesting time, because normally on a Saturday night, a number of rural country people have been out on the terps, and they get home and have a spit or a chunder in the bowl, and they'll spit their teeth out, and before they know what they've done, they've pushed the flush button. And many occasions we've had a phone call, 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning, and it's Joe Bloggs, saying, or even Mrs. Bloggs, saying, very embarrassed, but saying that they spat their teeth down the toilet and could we come and suck the tea at the septic tank out and retrieve them. So we've done that a lot of occasions, suck the tank out, hop inside, retrieve their false teeth.
So they wouldn't go up the tube into the truck?
No, well, in that case, you just be very careful. You make sure you suck well away from the inlet. No, wedding rings, engagement rings, the odd wallet. So makes life interesting. But this setup here is a perfect setup. We actually, because I own a, my son and I own a draining business as well, so we actually install septic tanks. And this is what I consider the perfect situation. From the house to the septic tank, you've got about, 3 feet full. So there's plenty of fall away from the house to the tank. The tank's right on the surface there, so it's not buried under the ground. You know, it's not down. And then the soakage field is out here. On that flat area, that's where the soakage field is down there. So once again, you've got about 7 or 8 fall from the tank out to the field. A lot of people say septic tanks give trouble, and that's not correct. What we find is what gives the trouble is the soakage field. It's not the septic tank. And what happens is, in a lot of instances, especially people living on flat ground, instead of the septic tank being nice and level like that, they drop the septic tank 2 feet to a metre under the ground. Then by the time they come to put the soakage field in out here, to get fall, they actually end up going down 4 or 5 feet under the ground to get fall to the soakage field. And then what happens in the middle of winter, the water table comes up, the soakage field gets flooded, backs up, floods the septic tank because it's too deep. And before you know where you are, people have got sewage pouring out the gully trap in their garage or by their back door, and the septic tank gets the blame. And hence there's a whole new generation of systems now, you know, which can combat that. They've evolved over the years. If you go back to the 50s, the old typical farmhouse, what they did in those days was they separated the septic tank from the grey water. And so septic tanks were small, but the only thing that ever went into it was the toilet. And those systems, believe it or not, work really, really well. And then in the 60s, there was a bit of a change, and the powers that be decided that, no, Everything had to go into the septic tank. And that was fine, but when the automatic washing machine came along, of course, that's where the trouble began. And a lot of systems that were designed for the old wringer type system, so the soakage fields, and once again, it's not the septic tank, it's the soakage field, because every gallon of water you put down the drain inside your house goes through the septic tank, and it's the soakage field that has to actually deal with it through evaporation and through a bit of soakage. And so when the automatic washing machine came along, and then of course we had automatic dishwashers, and then people wonder why it costs so much to get a tank cleaned out. And it's just simply the volume of water that you have to cart away and then treat at our treatment plant back at the farm. And of course nowadays you have the modern ones. So you've got Enviroflow, Innerflow, and so they're all new generation systems. And they're a brilliant system, absolutely brilliant. I mean, they still need cleaning, but they're not cheap. Anything from $12,000 to $20,000 for one.
Wow.
But for the environment, excellent. And if you've got a nice garden, excellent, because you can run the drip line through your garden and get the benefit of the nutrients from the sewage to feed your plants. Mm. Yep.
Do you ever have to actually get down into tanks and dig them out with a spade?
What happens is that because we've got quite historical sort of records now of everything on our database, you kind of, when someone rings up and says my tank needs cleaning, you go, oh my God, it's about 13 or 12 years since I cleaned that. So what we do now is that when you do a run, you make sure that you maybe do one or two nice watery tanks first. So when you get to the real solid one, we just basically suck what we can out, reverse the pump, blow it back in at 100 miles an hour, just like a massive great washdown hose, and it just literally vaporizes everything in the tank, breaks everything up, reverse the pump, suck it back out again, and that's the easiest way. In the old days, we used to muck around with rakes and spades and shovels.
You mentioned that you've got your ponds on the farm. Now, that's another bit of your business, so I guess
we should go and have a look. Our truck's full, so we'll put this back now and we'll put that into the ponds and we'll show you what we do there.
Okay, so here we are at your farm.
This is the ponds. This is where we deal with the raw product, so to speak.
So okay, so you bring this stuff back here.
So this is the anaerobic pond, and as you can see, there's a lovely, about a 3-inch crust of anaerobic sludge there on top. And that's just full of earthworms, just munching their way to health and goodness. And then what happens, of course, is that there's a water blanket, and then, of course, at the bottom is sediment of anaerobic sludge on the bottom. And that just ticks away and breaks down all the organic material. And then we've got our own digger, and when it's time, we take the crust off, and the crust goes into this number one drying pit here, and then that gets moved along, and that gets moved along, and so down the far end is 3-year-old dried sludge, which basically is just beautiful friable worm casings.
And what do you do with that?
In the old days we used to sell it, but then we were told we weren't allowed to sell it, so now what we do every year, we just spray a paddock out. You can see we've sprayed, there's about a 3-acre paddock there we've just sprayed out. And then I'll get a contractor in the autumn, and we'll truck. There's about 600 to 800 ton of worm casings there, and we'll truck that in onto that paddock, and we'll spread it out with a set of levelling bars, and then a contractor will come in with a set of power harrows, work it in, and we'll put that back into pasture, into seed. And the liquid goes through on the far side of the pond. We've got a device there with a filter in it, and that stops any solid waste going through. And on the other side here, we've got the aerobic pond. This is the grey water that comes off the anaerobic pond. And so that just slowly ticky-boos away. And then we have a big travelling irrigator. And then what we do is that when the weather's dry, things are looking good, we just fire up the big pumps and the big travelling irrigator there. That covers about 60 metres in a spread. And so we've spray irrigated. You can see all these paddocks through here that we've spray irrigated.
Green and lush.
And look at the grass. And then you look at some of the neighbours' properties, and she's a bit of a different story. So that's what it does for the pasture and for the soil. And that's excellent product.
Mac McLaren. In Susan Murray's story, which first aired in 2008. He's still involved with the business, except his son now owns the trucking side, with a super flash $500,000 truck that Mac says leaves his old one for dead. And while Mac has extended the sludge side of the business, they now process the deactivated sludge with worms, turning the waste into garden compost, which is bagged and sold.